My goodness, could we get any more mellow on a Monday? Hey, welcome to the Panic Podcast for Monday. It is the 9th day of March. Hope you're having a good day so far. I'm not sure when you're listening to this. As I'm recording it, it's very early in the morning. Nice to have you with us on the Panic Podcast. Today we're going to get into the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. We're going to talk about being kind. My name is Mike. I'm your online Bible study buddy, and this is the Panic Podcast. Nice to have you with us. Oh yeah, I like that. That's kind of a nice, that's kind of like jazz for a rainy afternoon. And I don't think it's going to be a rainy afternoon today. Looks like it's going to be a not too bad of a day. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be, upper 60s, maybe 70 degrees today. Same thing tomorrow, partly sunny. Looks like the warm day of the week is going to be Wednesday. It's going to be in the mid 70s, but rain all day. Gonna cool off on Thursday though. We got a big, big cool down coming, but that's okay. It's been really nice. I hope you've been enjoying our, summer-like weather because we're gonna go right back into a mid-Atlantic spring. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you know that God is very interested in you? He is. God is interested. And why wouldn't he be? Look, if you are a Christian, you are his child. And as such, he cares about you like any father cares about his children. And if you're a non-believer, well, God is still interested in you. You're not his child. He wants to save you, adopt you, and make you his child. So to both groups of human beings alive on the earth, God wants to bring about some radical changes in them. God wants to make all people better than they are. God sent his son to be our savior from the consequences of sin and to demonstrate the quality of life which he intended for people from the very beginning. Now, as far as we Christians are concerned, God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to deliver us from the power of evil in this present world. And this precious Holy Spirit has come to reproduce within us that much of the character of Christ and of the quality of life which Christ makes possible to those who trust him for the abundant life. Like, Christ came to do something more than just die for your sins. Christ came to do something more for us than to save us from spending eternity in the hell that was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. Christ came to do more than to take us to heaven when we die. Christ came to give us a new pattern of thinking, a new way of living, which leads to the abundant life in the here and now. And the Lord Jesus seeks to achieve this purpose in us through the gift of his Holy Spirit to each of us. Philippians 2:12-13. You ought to open up your Bibles and read this couple of verses and highlight them. Philippians 2:12-13. Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence." Now listen to this, because this is important. "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want to pause there for a second. That's Philippians 2:12. Paul is not telling you to work for your salvation. Okay, you're already saved. Now that you're saved, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So here, Paul encourages believers to work diligently because God is already working diligently in them. See, God has sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, to bring about a supernatural change within us, as we look to the Lord and cooperate with him as he seeks to work out God's purposes inside of us. Like, some Christians are under the misconception, and I hope you're not one of them, but they're under the misconception that salvation is wholly a work of God, which is true, and that the Holy Spirit supernaturally causes the rebirth to occur within you. That's true. The misconception is, once he's done that, that's all there is. Okay, that is not the case. That's just the beginning. The Holy Spirit saves you. The Holy Spirit brings about the new birth in you. But then the Holy Spirit works in you to, how can I put this? To bring about a change in your life now. Like, it's good to know that you're born again and you're going to go to heaven when you die, but you still have to get from here to there. I mean, you've still got decades of life to live on the earth. What are you going to do about that? So the God, through the Holy Spirit, enables you to live an abundant life in the here and the now, right? And God brings about a supernatural change in us. He changes our lives in the present as we cooperate with him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is diligently working in us in a million different ways to transform us into Christ's image. It's a lifelong process. It takes a long time to happen. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul is listed, excuse me, inward graces or virtues, which the Holy Spirit is working to produce in us. The aforementioned love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, today I want to talk about kindness. Now, that word kindness, it seems like such a trite, simple thing, doesn't it? And yet, great thinkers down throughout history have had plenty to say about kindness. You know, Wordsworth said, the best portions of a good man's life is his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness. I like that. And I bet you can think back over your life and you can think, remember people who made a difference in your life simply through an act of kindness. Didn't cost them anything, maybe, but it made all the difference in the world to you. Washington Irving, he said, I love this quote, a kind heart is a fountain of gladness, making everything in its vicinity freshen into smiles. It's hard to believe that guy wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, isn't it? But that's what he said about kindness. Freshens everything into smiles. Well, the Apostle Paul, no slouch in the thinking department, he describes Christian love by saying, love is patient and kind, 1 Corinthians 13:4. So Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit gives us a verbal portrait of what Jesus was like and what his disciples, you and me, can be like with the help of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we must not only verbalize the gospel, but by the life that we live, we can visualize the reality of the Christ within us and what he's doing in us. You know, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to know that kindness was a defining mark of our Lord's earthly ministry. I mean, he taught with a power and authority, and he displayed supernatural power through signs and wonders. But the gospel repeatedly shows us a Savior who treated people with gentle compassion, especially the overlooked, the outcast, and the sinner. His kindness was not weakness, but deliberate love in action, literally manifesting the heart of his Father on earth. And as a follower of Christ, you and I, we're called to reflect the exact same kind of kindness today. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's look at a couple of quick examples of our Lord's kindness. I mean, there's like a million of them we can choose from, but I want to just look at maybe three. Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell the story. Here Jesus touches the untouchable. A man with leprosy approached Jesus, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Well, back then, I mean, in their culture, lepers were isolated and cut off from the rest of society. They had to live apart from everybody, and they were considered unclean. And Jesus responded with a profound act of kindness. We're told that, quote, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. And he said, I am willing, be clean. And the man was completely healed. Listen, that act itself, the simple act of touching this man, was an incredible act of kindness. Now, sometimes Jesus healed from a distance, yes, but this time he didn't. He drew near to a man and touched him. This fellow probably hadn't felt a human touch in years. And Jesus restored his dignity along with his health. Simple act of kindness. Jesus also valued the despised. All of John chapter 4, you know, Jesus deliberately traveled through Samaria in this chapter and actually engaged a Samaritan woman at the well. He just started talking to her. You know, Jews typically avoided Samaritans, and Samaritans avoided Jews, and men never spoke publicly with a woman in this way, just walking up to her and talking to her out in the open. Now, this woman, to say that she had a complicated past was, you know, it's kind of an understatement. She had five husbands, five husbands, and the guy that she was living with currently wasn't her husband. She wasn't married to him. And yet Jesus actually treated her with some respect, and he offered her living water. He took the time to listen to her questions and gently revealed her life while declaring himself to be the Messiah to her. Well, this woman's encounter with Jesus was so transformative that she literally became an evangelist to her entire town. Yeah, Jesus' kindness crossed every cultural and moral barrier. But not only that, Jesus also went so far as to pursue the sinner. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10 tells the story of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? He was a wee man. A wee little man was he. He was wealthy, but he was a hated chief tax collector. And one day Jesus was in the vicinity. Zacchaeus, being a wee little man, he climbed up a tree to see Jesus. Well, our Lord happened to stop looked up, and lo and behold, sees this little guy up a tree and calls to him, "Zacchaeus, get down here. I want to come and stay at your house today." Well, the crowd that was there grumbled. I mean, here's Jesus daring to associate with a sinner. But Jesus's kindness to Zacchaeus led to a radical change. Zacchaeus repented and promised to give half of his possessions to the poor and to repay fourfold anyone he had ever cheated. Jesus declared, "Today salvation has come to this house." Yeah. Just three examples, but there are many more of our Lord's kindness, which was personal. It was courageous. And it was transformative. Our Lord's kindness met people in their shame and invited them into a new life. I'll tell you what, we live in a world where everybody's quick to judge or ignore. We need to be more like Jesus here. You know, looking at our Lord's acts of kindness, we discover that kindness is far more than a politeness or an occasional niceness. It's a deliberate, grace-filled response that mirrors God's own heart. As a fruit of the Spirit, biblical kindness demonstrates that we are really walking in step with God rather than our fallen nature. Now, in Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit, which we read in Galatians 5, the Greek word that he used for kindness is revealing. The word is Christotes, Christotes, for those of you taking notes. Christotes describes a tender, benevolent disposition that softens harshness and actively seeks the welfare of others. Now, this kind of kindness has nothing to do with your temperament or willpower alone. Like, you're not going to finish listening to this podcast and make up your mind and say, "You know what? Mike is right. My online Bible study buddy is right. I need to be more kind. I need to be kind like Jesus was kind." Well, you can try that, but it's not going to work, because this kind of kindness works out itself in your life only as you walk by the Spirit, yielding control to Him every single day. Because this kind of kindness, first of all, it's not in you naturally. Like, you may be a naturally kind person, but we're not talking about that kind of kindness. We're talking about a supernatural kindness that is not in you by nature, nor is it instinctive. It must be developed and cultivated as the Holy Spirit is allowed to work in your life. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae concerning the kind of garments that the children of God should wear, metaphorically speaking, he encouraged them to, quote, put on kindness like a garment. Colossians 3:12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with," now listen, "compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, the Holy Spirit leads us to do this in several ways. First of all, this is painful, He convicts us of things like selfishness. It's hard to be a kind person when all you're thinking about is yourself. He convicts us of things like impatience or indifference. I mean, those attitudes, selfishness, impatience, and indifference, those are attitudes that oppose God's very nature. Secondly, the Holy Spirit prompts specific acts of kindness through things like inner nudges. You know what I mean? Like the still small voice speaking to you. Maybe a scripture verse has convicted you to do something kind for somebody, or even just circumstances. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit, get this, actually empowers us to obey, even when it costs us our time or our comfort or our pride. Titus 3, 4, and 6, I think, are really important verses because it highlights this this divine pattern. At one time, Paul says, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Now listen, verse 4. But when the kindness and love, the two are linked, kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. I like that. You know, somebody once said that, I don't know who it was, kindness is a language the dumb can speak and the deaf can hear and understand. That's kind of an interesting saying, but it basically means that everybody can recognize an act of kindness. It doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, doesn't matter where you live. An act of kindness gets noticed, you know. Kindness leads to tactfulness. Kindness seeks to be helpful. Kindness is being appreciative. Kindness is being constructive. Kindness is looking out for the good for others and the good in others. Kindness is being forgiving and being merciful. Above all else, folks, kindness means treating others the way God has treated you. Another good saying that I don't know who said it, it goes like this. Kindness is the oil that takes the friction out of life. I love it. You know, we live in a world today that is marked by harshness, by rudeness, division, things like that. In this kind of world, spirit-led kindness stands out like a sore thumb, as my dad would say. But it also stands out as a powerful witness to the gospel. You know, one act of kindness, it can actually draw people toward Christ by demonstrating God's love in action. As you and I learn to submit to the Holy Spirit, he produces lasting fruit in us that blesses others, blesses ourselves, and it glorifies God. You know, it was God's kindness that made provision for our salvation from sin. I want to read this group of verses again just because I think they're so powerful. It's Titus 3, 4, and 7. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not out of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we have become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. By many, many, many acts of kindness, God wants to bring about within your mind and your heart a radical change from distrust to trust and from revolt to rebellion to a life of responsible cooperation with his good purposes. You know, the Apostle Paul warns us against presuming upon the kindness of God to the extent that we can actually bring about our own doom. He encourages us to recognize in God's kindness that God is seeking to lead us to forsake the ways that are destructive and to trust him for the abundant life. Romans 2, 4. He says, do you show contempt for the riches? I love that phrase, the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God will continue to deal with us in terms of kindness even after we've entered the glories of heaven. Did you know that? Like, in one way, we can kind of understand why God is kind to us down here. But in heaven, God continues to be kind to us. Yeah, listen to this. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. In order that in the coming ages, i.e. in all eternity, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what that means? For all of eternity, you are going to be held up by God as an example of the incomparable riches of his grace and his kindness, so that the whole universe can see, all the created beings, supernatural and otherwise, they're all going to look at you and they're going to see the incomparable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness to you through Christ Jesus. I love that. Because God has been so kind to us, shouldn't we respond to others in terms of kindness? Shouldn't we? All right, it's almost 27 minutes past the hour. Well, you all survived your springing ahead to daylight savings time. A couple of weeks is going to be spring. Thank God for that. But now listen, have a great rest of the day today. All right. Lord willing, we'll be back on Wednesday with another Panic Podcast. We're doing a survey of the Sermon on the Mount Wednesdays in the podcast, so be sure to tune in then. Have a great rest of the day today. Go on out there, be kind to somebody, be a blessing to somebody, and as I say, Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Wednesday. Thanks for listening.